Week series today. Go with me to two openings. Revelation chapter 4. And I'm not teaching on the book of Revelation. Let me tell you what I know about the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming. And you better be ready. That's what I know. And also Mark chapter 4. Revelation 4 and Mark chapter 4. I'm going to do I'm going to call it a mini-series because when we do a series, sometimes it's 6 weeks long. And this is 2 weeks long. At least I think it is. But we're going to talk about dealing with fear. Dealing with fear. I am convinced that the Christian's number one enemy is fear. So I thought it was the devil. Nope. It's fear. And I want us to look at something. There is something that keeps Christians from reaching their potential. And it's fear. One of the things the Lord has been dealing with me about in my life is dealing with my fear. And I thought I didn't have any. But I came to realize that I did have some fear in my life. In fact, you're going to deal with fear all your life. It's going to present itself to you. What we want to come to the point to is that it does not control our actions. Because when fear controls your actions, God does not. I'll say that again. When fear controls your actions, God does not control your actions. You cannot be led by the Holy Spirit and by fear at the same time. If fear is your motivating, if it's your modus operandi in your life, and a lot of times it is, and we're going to look at it, and you think, well, I don't have any fear. But when we begin to look at it, you may see that you're eat up with it. And it's a problem among Christians. So Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, I love this verse, and we used to sing this as a chorus. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." One translation it says, "And for your pleasure they are created." Now the highest thing that God created was not the earth. It was not the Grand Canyon. It was not all of the beauty. It's not the sun and the stars and the moon and all of that. All of that was created for something else. And it was created for mankind. Man is the only thing that's ever been created that's created in the image of God. Now everything reflects the glory of God. And everything in creation points back to God. But we're the only thing that has ever been created that has been created in His likeness and His image. Genesis says that. It says that in several places that we are created in God's image. We were created by God and for God. We were created for His pleasure. I got news for you today. You were not created for your pleasure. It's amazing how much we seek our own pleasure in life. We're not created for our pleasure. We are created for His pleasure. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He does not take away from our life. He only adds to it. And when we find what His pleasure for us is, it will produce so much pleasure in us, it will be unreal. In fact, the only true, the real, deep, satisfying satisfaction that you're ever going to find is when you find out what you were created for. When you're in that relationship with God and you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're going to find real contentment. Let me talk about a concept here real fast. One of the misconceptions that has come through the church is the thing of calling. A lot of people look at me and say, oh yeah, you've got a holy calling because you've been called to the ministry. You have been called to be a pastor, or somebody's been called to be an evangelist, and that's a holy calling. Listen, my calling is no more holy than your calling. You say, yeah, but I don't do anything that's significant. Significance is not in the job that we do. It's in the influence that we have in the job that we do. Okay? I know a lot of pastors who have no influence. I know people who work in what we call the secular field who have more spiritual influence than a lot of people who stand behind pulpits. Holy calling. There is no such thing as a holy calling and a secular calling. Everything that God calls us to do is holy. Everything about our life should be a part of God's plan. It's part of a holy calling. We are called to God. That's a holy calling. We are called to glorify God. That's a holy calling. See, we have got nurses. We've got school teachers. We've got bread men. We've got truck drivers. We've got all kinds of people. And that's a holy calling. Your calling in life is as holy as my calling in life. If your job is to pick up trash on the side of the road, that's a holy calling. So, well, I've never heard that before. It is. Because what we are called to do is to be a blessing to God and a blessing to humanity. So there's no such thing as a secular call and a holy call. It's all holy calling. You know, one of the reasons, now we get criticized for this, but I don't care to be criticized. Don't bother me. But you know, one of the big reasons we do Football Sunday is for the coaches. It's for the coaches. Do you know one of the most influential people in a kid's life is a coach? Reckon coaching is a holy calling? Absolutely. Well, I thought that was ungodly. No, because it's about people. See, touching people is what it's all about. Changing people, influencing people is what we're called to do. I am here today not to just preach at you so you can feel good. I'm here today to influence you, to be an influence in your life so that you can turn around and do what your holy calling is, to influence other people. Coaching. If we can influence the coaches, then we can influence the kids. Okay? So that's one of the reasons that we do football. We do it for the kids and they have a big time, but we do it for the coaches too. Because we want to speak into their lives. We want to be able to walk on their campus and have audience with their kids. We want to be able to speak into their lives and influence them so that they can point kids in the direction that they need to go. It's a holy calling. So we were created for God's pleasure. We were not created for our pleasure. So anything in life that we're called to do is a holy calling. If you run a daycare, that's a holy calling. If you work in a grocery store, that's a holy calling. If you spray wash buildings, that's a holy calling. If you work at the bank, guess what? That's a holy calling. You know why? Because you're with people. And you can influence people. You are an influencer one way or the other. I just want it to be good. I just want it to be good. I want you to be a good influencer. Now, since we were created for His pleasure, there is one thing that can keep us from walking in what God has called us to do. And the greatest enemy of our holy calling is fear. is fear. I want you to look at a story found in Mark 4. I'm so used to preaching out of Mark 11. Mark 4, 37. Jesus and the disciples were on a boat. And Jesus goes to sleep in the back of the boat. Mark 4, 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. His disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, look, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care?" What was their problem? They were afraid. You know what Jesus said before they got in the boat? He said, "Let's go to the other side." You know what Jesus wanted to do? He wanted to get in the boat and go to the other side. So he said, "Let's go to the other side." Guess where they were going to wind up at? On the other side. They get halfway and a storm comes up and Jesus is asleep and the disciples wake him. They're scared. "Teacher, don't you care?" You know they forgot what he said? And here's what happens a lot of times when we get afraid. We forget what God has said. Every one of you have a vision, have a dream, have something in your heart that you feel like you need to accomplish for the Lord. And a lot of times in the midst of our life, right in the middle of our life, right in the middle as we're going to do what we're supposed to do, contrary circumstances challenge us, and we all have the tendency to get in fear and say, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Did Jesus say, 'Let's go halfway and sink'?" No, He said, "Let's go to the other side." He didn't say, "Let's go halfway and sink." He said, "Let's go to the other side." Can I tell you something about God? His promises are sure. What He says is what He intends to happen. When He said, "Light be," guess what? Light was. When God speaks, something happens. And when Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side," that's what He intended to happen. What did they do? They doubted. Why did they doubt? Because they looked at their circumstances and they became afraid. Fear paralyzed them. When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then He asked them, "Why are you afraid?" Well, you know, my first thought is, duh. You're in a boat, it's got a hole, there's a storm. Has anybody ever been in a boat in a storm? Ever get caught out on the lake or the river in a storm? Can that be quite scary? I'm sure it can. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Let's go to the other side." He says, "Why are you afraid?" And they could say, well, Lord, look. Lord, look. The waves, the wind, the boat full of water, sink, afraid. They had more confidence in what they could see than what Jesus said. And this is what we're going to see about faith and fear. They're opposites. See, faith is confidence in what God said. Fear is no confidence in what God said. And when we have fear in our life, we dishonor God. Okay, here we go. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Faith in what? What God said. He said, "Let's go to the other side." Okay, I looked up the word phobia. You know, have you ever heard the word phobia? Claustrophobia, arachnophobia, agoraphobia. Phobia. Phobia is the word. It's the Greek word for fear. A phobia, this is the definition in the dictionary. A phobia is an intense fear of something that in reality poses little are no actual danger. That's interesting. A phobia is an intense fear of something that in reality poses little or no actual danger. Have you seen things that people are afraid of that are really not even in actuality a danger? Okay? Maybe it's a granddaddy long leg. Or it's just a little bug. Or a snake. But a lot of time, most of the time, have you ever noticed that most of your fears never come to pass? And I want to make a statement about that. First of all, I want to give you the acronym for fear. I saw this and I thought it was pretty good. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. I would say 90% of the things that we fear never come to pass. You ever had a pain in your side and you get the thought, what's the thought? It's cancer. You have a little indigestion and your first thought is heart attack. Now that is one of the symptoms of a heart deal. But what I'm saying, most of the time, the little things that, you know, we get this pain or we get this thought or, you know, our kids leave and go somewhere and, oh, we're afraid, oh, something's going to happen to them. And, you know, if I don't worry about them, I don't care about them. You know what that is? That's fear. That's fear. You say, well, fear is natural. Let me say this. No, it's not. Fear is not natural to the original creation. And we're going to get to that in a moment. See, the vast majority of the things we fear never come to pass. They don't have to. They don't have to come to pass because fear paralyzes us and keeps us from doing God's will. See, who's behind fear? Satan's behind fear. He does not have to bring the fear to pass because once he gets you in fear and paralyzes you with that fear, he's already won because he's trying to stop God's purpose in your life. He's trying to stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. And I would say majority of Christians are more motivated by fear than they are by faith. They can't get their job done because they're paralyzed by fear. Maybe some here today. So fear, just putting it out there, fear is a spiritual attack. It's designed to steal your peace and your destiny in Christ. That's what fear is designed to do. So what should our attitude towards fear be? We should detest it. We should treat it like an enemy. And we should do everything in our power, which we have a lot of power, to overcome the fears in our life. Now today we're going to look and we're going to recognize what some of these fears are. But I want you to see, first of all, the origin of fear. Go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And this is a word that we use around here quite a bit. It's called original intent. One way to understand the Bible in a greater measure, because we have a whole lot of help out there to misunderstand the Word of God. We really do. There's a lot of people that'll confuse you about the Word of God. But if you will remember the term original intent, and if you go back to the beginning and you see the way that God originally created things, you're going to find out what His will about certain things are. Okay? So all you got to do is look at the beginning and the end. What God originally intended is what's going to happen and be reality in the end. Okay? Let me ask you, is there sin in heaven? There wasn't any sin in the garden, in creation. Will there be sickness and disease in heaven? No. There was not in the garden. It was not a part of the original intent. Not part of the original creation. Genesis chapter 3 talks about the fall of man. And when God created man in His likeness, in His image, He created him for His purpose. See, he had a holy calling. His life was a holy calling. Anything that we have to do with God is all about being holy, because God is completely holy in all of His ways. So everything about God is holy. And everything that God does in our life is holy. It's holy. And he had a holy calling. He was called to be in fellowship with God. Adam was called to have a face-to-face fellowship with God. He had a relationship with Him. He had a fellowship with Him. But in the Garden of Eden, in chapter 3, we see that man sinned. Okay, we know the story. We don't have time to go into all the story. In verse 7 it says this: "Then the eyes of them both were open, and that they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden of the day. And Adam and his wives hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Let me ask you a question. Can you hide from the presence of God? No way, Jose. How can you hide from something that's omnipresent? God is equally everywhere at the same time. Anywhere in His created universe and beyond, God is omnipresent. David said one time, says, "Where can I go to get away from Your presence?" He said, "If I go to the highest heaven, You're there. If I make my home in the bed of hell, lo, You're there. If I go that way or that way, I run right into You." God is omnipresent. And here He is, after he sins, he's trying to hide from the presence of God. There's no place that you can... You know, there's two people that you'll never get away from. I can even get away from my wife if I want to. Okay? I can do that. I can get away from people. But there's two that I can never get away from. I can't get away from me. Yeah, you can shoot yourself. You still don't get away from you. And you can't get away from God. So Adam sins, and he hears God, and he tries to hide from God, who's everywhere. Which shows you how crazy that is in the first place. He hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, "Where are you?" Did God know where he was? Yeah, because God was there. He just wanted Adam to realize what's going on. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was," what's that next word? "Afraid." Here's the first instance where fear entered the heart of man. After the fall. Before the fall, there was no fear. It was all faith. After the fall, he's afraid, and he goes away from God. One thing that you'll always notice about people when they get in trouble, they're going to run one of two ways. They're going to run to God or away from God. Now, that's in their own heart. God's everywhere, okay? But in their heart, they're going to run toward God or they're going to run away from God. Which way did he run? He ran away from God. Let me say this to you. When you miss it, I didn't say if you miss it, I said when you miss it. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. Run to Him. In your heart, run to Him. Because you can't get away from Him. But in your heart, run to Him. Okay? But he didn't. He said, "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He was ashamed. His life began to be motivated by fear. Fear is the force that drives the death nature. Fear is the force that drives the unregenerate nature. It drives the old man. It drives the man who is in sin. Let me ask you a question. Why should it ever drive a believer's life? But it does. In many cases. And one of the reasons is that we don't recognize fear for what it is. It's our enemy. It is our absolute enemy. People say, "Well, it's just natural." No, it's not. Why? Because it's not part of the original intent. It's been in mankind since the fall. But Jesus came to free us from the fall, and we don't have to live in fear. In fact, if you're ever going to be what you need to be for God, you're going to have to deal with fear. If you don't, you will never fulfill your destiny. You will not glorify God in your life. And you were created for His pleasure. You were created to glorify God. So, let me make this statement to you. Write this down. Choosing faith or fear means choosing who you will believe. Choosing faith or fear means choosing who you believe. When you choose fear, you choose not to believe God. When you choose faith, you choose to believe God. Faith and fear are a whole lot alike in a lot of ways. They're both spiritual forces. One is the positive, the other is the negative. One is chooses to believe God, the other chooses not to believe God. And when you fear, you do not believe God. It's serious. Here's another way they're alike. Both faith and fear are an unshakable belief in an unseen future. It's not an emotion. Fear is not an emotion any more than faith is an emotion. It is a spiritual force. Do you think fear ever operates in you? Yeah, I'll answer that for you. Yes. Yes. See, when we think of fear, we think, well, I was afraid. Oh, it's bigger than that. Fear is multifaceted. I want us to look, because we need to learn to recognize all forms of fear. And I'm going to spend the next 5 minutes talking about different forms of fear. And next week we're going to talk about how do we deal with fear. Are you ready? Judge yourself as we do this. Low self-esteem is fear. I was eat up with low self-esteem. In fact, there's some times that I still find myself in places that I let people intimidate me. That's low self-esteem. Anytime you look someone in the eye and you're intimidated, that's low self-esteem. That's low self-esteem. Well, I can't help it. Then God lied. You can help it. You have to recognize that it's fear and it doesn't need to be a part of your life. And we'll tell you how to deal with that next week. How about fear of public speaking? That's fear. Doing new things. I just sat down and wrote, as they come to me, things that cause us to be afraid. Doing new things. You know why a lot of Christians never step out? Because it's something they've never done before. You know why we don't like change? Because we're afraid. We've gone through a lot of changes in this church. It has brought growth. It's brought new people. And it's into some of us old ones that have been here for a while, it brings a level of fear to us if we're not careful. What are we going to do with all these new people? All these people that's got tattoos and problems. And we're stretched beyond what we're used to. And I don't know if I want to do this new stuff or not. I understand. That's fear. We cannot tolerate fear in our lives. So doing new things. How about meeting new people? You know, that's one of the biggest challenges that we have with people. Say, turn around and meet somebody you don't. Oh, I can't do that. Well, what's the problem? Well, I just don't. We start making excuses. You know what bottom line it is? Fear. And a lot of it goes back to low self-esteem. Fear. Everybody say fear. That's fear. Go into new places. They don't go to new places. They don't try new stuff. You know why we don't do that? Fear. Recognize it for what it is. It'll control your life. How about starting a new job? Oh, that's scary. Yeah, it's called fear. And there's some people who will not improve themselves because they are afraid to take a step. They're afraid to try to start a new job because they're afraid they will fail. That's fear. It's fear. Here's a good one. Procrastination. A lot of times that's fear. We put it off because we dread it. We dread it because there's an element of fear there. Are y'all grinning? You grinning because you sinning. That's what it is. Doubt. Doubt can be fear. Let's talk about a concept here. Fear of man versus fear of God. Let's say the Lord speaks to you and tells you to pick up the phone and call so-and-so. And you don't do it because you are afraid. You know what that says? That you have more fear of man than you do respect for God. It's fear. There's things that God tells us to do that involve other people. We don't do it because, well, what would they think of me? What does God think of you? That's what I want to know. I mean, do we not care what God thinks about it? What will God think of me if I just say, no, I'm afraid of Him, but I'm not afraid of you? If you ever get a vision of how big God is, the guy said one time, got up and preached this little sermon, it's his first sermon, he says, God is good. Then he says, God is big. Then he says, I'm glad I found out He was good before I found out how big He is. And it's true. If you realize how big God is and all the attributes of God, it'll blow your mind. Why would we ever fear man more than we fear God? But we allow fear to paralyze us and not to do certain things. How about intimidation? Have you ever been intimidated? That's fear. Timidity. Shyness. A lot of times that's fear. It's fear. Inferior feelings. Dread. Avoiding people. Fear. Here's a good one. Making excuses for not doing things when it isn't the real reason you're not doing it. Fear. Making excuses. I don't say, I'm not going to do that. And sometimes we avoid situations because of fear. Obsessive compulsive behavior is based on fear. Superstition is based on fear. Fright. Here's one. Superior feelings. A lot of times is fear. Here this person feels like that they have to prove themselves. They have to be better. They have to be superior so that they can feel better about themselves. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, I just felt I had to be a better athlete so I could feel good about myself. What is that? That's fear. Because it goes back to inferiority. And a lot of times, superiority is really just a form of inferiority. And people come across as being superior when all the time they feel inferior, and that's a form of fear. Okay. How about worry? Worry is fear. You know worry is a sin? I like to say that. Worry. Well, what could I do if I didn't worry? I know people who live to worry. I'm just so worried about my... Then you're not believing, are you? Yeah, I'm just trusting God, but I'm worrying. No, you're not. No, you're not. Worry is a form of fear, and fear is the opposite of faith. You got to deal with it. Okay? Panic. Freak out. Freak out. I just freaked out. You know why you freaked out? Because you're full of fear. Don't you love me? to age fright. You got stage fright? Anybody got stage fright? Anybody got stage fright? Does anybody don't have stage fright? A couple of you. See, you're afraid I'm going to call you up here. I was thinking about it. Hysteria. Cold sweat. Creeps. Terror. Apprehension. Anxiety. Regret. Regret. A lot of times regret is based in fear. It's not a good thing. And if we don't treat it as an absolute enemy and poison to our soul, it will keep us from glorifying God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much in Jesus' name. Thank you for the fact that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Lord, open our hearts that we can recognize fear and see it for what it is, so that we'll be ready to deal with it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.